Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name's Tony Fitzgerald. I am a lead technical recruiter at Jet.com and Walmart Labs. And obviously wanted to, kind of come out today and talk a little bit more about, some of the changes that we're looking to do, not more organizationally, within our recruiting field and how we're looking at, being able to build sustainable pipelines for, future hiring. So, obviously, I'm hoping that you guys have heard of us. Obviously, Walmart and Jet.com. I was actually very surprised because and enlightened because Microsoft kind of asked us to do this talk, and it's a little bit different than probably some of the talks that you guys have probably been attending, right? So this talk's going to be a little bit more in depth within regards to some of the fundamental challenges that we're looking to really change within the recruiting structure, but also really be able to organizationally change how we can function and move into more of a functional practice group setting in a recruiting method. So obviously, we are a huge user of Azure. I don't think they want to say this, but I think we probably are one of their biggest clients. So everything that we do is 100% within Microsoft Azure. We use F# on the back end. So everything on the East Coast, all 100% of the applications that we build are using F# on the back end. And literally from a recruiting standpoint, we are using the latest and greatest buzzwords, right? So I guess how many people out there right now are either in the recruiting field or an engineering manager that's looking to bring on talent? Right? Everyone. and, as we really start to look at this, one thing that we fundamentally have started to do and started to realize is that there's a difference between a buzzword recruiter and there's, what you really need to be able to do is have that kind of DevOps mentality, but have that partnership with engineering to know exactly where and where everyone kind of lives and what kind of technologies they're using, but really create a subject matter expertise within the recruiting field that works one-on-one with our engineers so that we're not only running a strategy that makes sense from a branding perspective, but also makes sense from a talent and closing perspective as well. So kind of looking at this, and I'm going to probably mess up all this, the technology that he just explained to me. What was cool about this is that we have... like I said, when I go back to a lot of the technical things that we're doing, a lot of people simulate Walmart retail with basically going to the store and realizing that experience is sometimes trying to figure out where products are and they don't look really at the technology that's behind it. So that's where Walmart Labs and Jet really kind of come into play is when we talk about these buzzwords. I mean, we are using things like AI, machine learning. Really a lot of natural language processing. We're doing for security payments, we're using blockchain technologies as well. And actually looking at the future of e-commerce. So everything from AR to VR to voice and looking at how that can impact the consumer and being able to grab data while you're on the website. So not being able to be intrusive with your data, but be able to grab that data and be able to make really insightful decisions for the consumer. Whether they're in store or whether it's online. So, like I said, as we were speaking with Microsoft and kind of as you guys have probably gone to, there's been some other talks with Scott Havens and some of our other engineers at Walmart Labs and Jet, and talking about our F# functional backend and. Really, as we started to look at this, I was speaking with some of the Microsoft folks, and they were like, well, what's happening at Walmart Labs? And a lot of people don't know this, but there's obviously, I think a lot of people are seeing the dominance between, some of the other e-commerce players. And we're looking at, fundamentally how we change our recruiting pipelines and how we're grabbing talent, how we're sourcing talent, and then being able to really make that impact so that we're raising the talent bar as these candidates are coming in. So every day we're raising those kind of bars. So kind of get into it. I wanted to humanize my talk a little bit more. So every talk that you guys have probably been to has been like, Docker and all of these things and like how to do that. So I wanted to humanize a little bit, and I think you guys can really start to understand me as a person. So I'm actually a Nebraska transplant. I have my degree from Nebraska. I started in sales, actually started in door-to-door sales, which helped pay for my college. And then I moved over to doing recruiting for paralegals, general counsels, and lawyers. And I realized, I hope there's no lawyers actually in the crowd right now, because that was like the worst experience of my life. And I realized that I needed to get out of it, and I needed to get into more of the technical realm. So I've been in tech ever since. I started the Puppet Users Group down in Philadelphia, which is around 10,000 members right now. And really started to look at this as working with, I was on the agency side, but working with clients and really being able to be a partner with them and looking at how we can drive process, how we can drive pipelines, and how we can drive that kind of mentality. So obviously I had mentioned I come from Philly, so obviously I'm a bigger guy. I love cheesesteaks, I love the Eagles, but I also love the gritty demeanor that actually happens in Philly too. There's a lot of passion, and there's a lot of passion, and it has like a more of a closed mouth doesn't get fed type of opportunity. And I think when you're in recruiting and you want to make sophisticated changes, you really have to have that attitude. You have to have the passion, and you also have to have the drive to be able to ask for things that maybe aren't doable, especially in a setting that is national or global, and be able to say, this doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? And let's change how we're doing it. So kind of get it back to a little bit of the process. And then also parenting, right? So recruiting literally for me is like, it's like I love being a dad, and I think that's why I love recruiting. So I think when you start to really look at this, dealing with a candidate is like, whether they're a good candidate or a bad candidate, is like dealing with a child that like wants ice cream at 10 o'clock at night, and realizing like, hey, we have to manage your expectations, we have to manage your process, and we have to manage how we deliver that process and deliver that message, so we're impacting the candidate or your experience or your attitude with your child. So if that kind of makes a little bit more sense. So as we look at the current state of recruitment, you know, a lot of what we're seeing is what I call like a one-to-one style. Depending on your company's size, the recruitment team is basically managing multiple areas to grab talent, right? So you'll have one recruiter that's working on a data scientist role. They're working on a senior back-end developer role, and then they're working on a VP of engineering role. If you're looking at bandwidth and you're looking at different things, you know, from an engineering perspective, that's, you know, the first thing that I think everyone thinks of as a recruiter is they're thinking about diversity, they're thinking about sourcing, right? How they're sourcing their candidates, offers, closing those candidates, the client management, right? So some of the management that you actually have with the hiring managers that are here and how you work with recruiting, but also the candidate experience as well. What a lot of people don't know is that, you know, we're also, when it comes to the sourcing side, we're also working on how we're running in events, right? So how we're being able to show up here and be able to grab talent. Also how we're running meetups, like your very local events to your very large events. And also looking at branding and how our brand, everything down to the swag, is really impacting our overall experience as a recruiter and as an engineering organization. So, obviously, going back to recruiters are working multiple requirements and different skill sets. And if you think about that, if you start to think about what a recruiter is handling, you know, what we started to realize organizationally across e-commerce is that we have one recruiter that's working with multiple clients. They're generating multiple specialized pipelines, right? So if we're going back to the example, right, we're trying to find a 3-year experienced data scientist. We're trying to find a 5-year back-end developer. Those are 5 different Boolean searches. Those are 5 different tools. Those are 5 different pipelines, right? And what we realize is, yes, you can get a specialization, and you can really manage your time and have some good organization, but one recruiter is only one recruiter. 40 to 50 hours a work week, that person can only do so much in that search. And then what we started to realize, and we started to look at this holistically, was there's a divide between our engineering staff and our recruitment staff. It's a very siloed mentality, right? Engineering is responsible for X, and recruiting is responsible for Y. So there was a lack of collaboration and just communication really where it counts, and really prioritizing the impacts, right? So diversity and inclusion is one of our biggest pillars that we're looking at, not only for this year, but for every year. But when you have such a broad way to impact that, and then you have hundreds of teams under that, everyone has a different spin and a different perspective on it. So we really needed to to figure out what our message was from a recruiting standpoint and really partner with our engineers to do that. And to kind of give you a rundown, I mean, the best candidates really come from this partnership. You know, I'll give an example. So we, and Sweet Talk can kind of attest to this too, I don't know how many of you guys' organizations have like a back-end tools and productivity team, right? So this team handles basically everything from like chaos engineering to developer productivity, a lot of code quality. They are traditionally a back-end developer, but they're not. They're like almost a hybrid because they're also working on an operations mindset. So, you know, traditionally, as we were looking for this search, it was traditionally we were putting them into a back-end developer type pipeline, right? And this person is not fundamentally the same person. So what I really had to do is be able to understand what this was, because it was a new role, really be able to partner with the manager and be able to have that collaboration and really understand, you know, it's like fishing. Like if I were to talk to a fish, I go, hey, like I'm looking to eat you. Where do your friends hang out, right? I need to understand that type of mindset in recruiting as well. So being able to really partner up there, and it was a trial by fire. You know, in the end, we here's my little plug for Walmart. What I didn't know is that there's selling points throughout this entire organization. So we actually, the creator of Maven, his name's Jason Van Ziel, actually works for Walmart. And that is like obviously a huge selling point. We had no idea about that. He actually runs that team. So you know, so we were able to use some of the selling points of being able to collaborate with our engineering teams and really be able to have that communication to make sure that we're finding the right person. So as we look at it, when you start to change your organization's recruiting mentality and structure, so this is, you know, fundamentally what we've been doing for the last 6 months to a year. And I put 1 to 100 is because what we want to do is we don't want to think about, you know, traditionally it was that 1-to-1 rec. Hey, it's more of a reactive model. You go to your recruiting staff and you say, hey, I need to find, again, a senior data scientist. That person finds that senior data scientist. What we want to do is we wanted to really change the mentality from the ground up within Walmart and Jet and really start to understand where are our volume and buckets of hiring and really start to organize our recruitment team to manage these requirements more in a functional practice group model. So instead of having one recruiter that works 9 roles, let's have 2 recruiters that really understand back end or really understand front end. What we can really start to challenge and really start to, you know, raise the bar, we can align the communication not only with recruitment and engineering, but we're going to understand from the technical depths of each skill set, right? So if you take a buzzword recruiter, right, and you're able to hone him and really train them, right? It's the same thing as if we are doing development. You take a junior developer, you start to train them into, you know, the things that you're doing on a project basis, that person's obviously going to be a little bit more developed. And the questions that are asked are going to be a lot more senior. So that we took that same mentality and what we've started to do is actually started to build out functional practice groups. These functional practice groups will start to, as I mentioned, kind of like align the communication between recruitment and engineering. You can really get an understanding of what we're exactly looking for from a subject matter expertise. But then we're also moving from an individual requirements where, you know, an applicant actually interviews or interviews with one team. You know, there's a lot of times that interviewee interviews with one team and isn't the right fit for that team, but they're a good fit for another team, right? And now we're having that person, if we're looking at candidate experience, we're having that person go through another 3-to-4 round interview to be able to figure out, and I've even had instances where that person wasn't good for that role, but then we found out that we did find the perfect role, right? So that's what we wanted to really change, right? You can enable your recruiters to like manage sourcing strategies that fit that skill set. So, you know, we were just at Women Who Code. We were just at a big data conference. And what we did is we took our big data, you know, our data scientist recruiter and actually paired them up with our data scientists so that they're able to not only learn the lingo, learn the language, but also start to raise the bar within regards to the candidate pool that we're bringing in. So with this too, we're obviously partnering with engineering to really understand the technical requirements per organization. As you're looking at this, you know, you understand not only the must-haves of a role, but I'll understand the nuances, right? So, you know, I just met with the data science team again on Friday, and what I realize is that we have different tiers of the of what team is really looking for, but there is an overall bar when it comes to experienced data scientists. And you know, if we weren't able to partner up with them and really understand it from a sourcing strategy perspective, we're not going to be able to be on the same page, and it's just going to be two people working against each other. So, you know, and really understanding this is, you know, who better to grab that talent and be able to inform you on that talent other than your engineering teams, right? So the last part, which does take a little bit more time, is that as you're working on some of your pillars and some of your business initiatives, is that you want to create a recruitment-first organization, right? So we need to start getting back to a mentality where every candidate or every person that you speak to is a potential candidate down the road. Whether they're a candidate now, or whether they're a candidate in 6 months, or whether they're a candidate in 4 years. We want to be able to, that is obviously not only impacting our brand, but it's also impacting, you know, how we market and how we start to tailor ourselves as an organization as well. So that's something that we're looking to do, and we've actually done this probably within the past year. We've been able to change the way we look at recruiting, and instead of like more of a service and say, hey, here's my job description, go find a person. Let's write this job description together. Let's figure out the sourcing pools together, and let's go to these events together to make sure that we're finding the right people and really tailoring our searches from there. So this is me. This is like if my son were to draw up a circle. But this is like how I picture and how we've really been able to gather a lot of these things. So as we've moved to a functional practice group model, some things that personally that we've done at Walmart Labs and Jet is one thing that we've done, and I don't know if you guys are, if here's my plug as well, we're actually running an event at Wild Ginger in 10 minutes. So if you guys want to join, free drinks, free booze, so like come and join us and hang out. But we're running an event strategy. We really wanted to be able to do this from a grassroots style and really start to understand the technology that are in certain locations, but really understand the engineers that are there. So we were, an example, we were in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is what we found is that there's a strong data community, obviously with a lot of the other e-commerce companies out there. We understand the market. We also understand, too, that a lot of those candidates don't want to relocate. So as we start to look at this and we're starting to grow bigger and bigger, we can start to look at, well, if we are looking to create a different engineering team, like maybe Minneapolis is a great way for us to actually open up an office there. So it's that gathering that data from a more of an event strategy perspective. Now, when we look at diversity, we have a program called Jet Start. And this kind of goes back to, again, parenting as well, but how many people out there have kids? A lot, everyone. Okay, cool. If you ever watch cartoons with your kids, you will see Hot Wheels commercials, you'll see Legos commercials, and then you'll see like a commercial that's probably for like a 12 to 14 year old. Like my son's 7. So I started to see something that we're going to start seeing within the next 5 years he's going to be really into, like WWE, it's weird because my son's into it now. What we wanted to do is really look at that from a marketing perspective as well, and really start to build the future of the engineer, future engineers from a diversity perspective. So we actually, our JetStart program, throughout all of our locations, is we actually work with inner city youth and people and schools that have a STEM community. And actually, what we do is we do walkthroughs with our office. We show them what can be and what we and we'll actually do paired programming with them as well to teach them not only F#, teach them the fundamentals of JavaScript. But what we want to do is plant the seed, right? We'll plant the seed. The STEM program will be able, in our continued communication, will water that seed, and we'll start to see those pipelines down the road, right? So, and that kind of goes into some of the data that we're gathering as well. And then the last part, which I've been kind of talking about, is the recruiting subject matter expertise. As you start to align your recruiting organizations with, you know, your engineers, you really start to get an expertise where we're raising the talent bar fundamentally, so that we're walking away from more of a buzzword recruiting style to more of a, we actually understand. Now I would say DevOps is probably, I could probably pass a first round interview in DevOps by switching to this model. So again, we'll see, it depends on the company, but I feel very confident in the tools that we use. I understand the team, I understand how to sell it, and our caliber of engineers that we've been able to bring in consistently has been tremendously high. So kind of run into the last slide here. What you're basically doing, and as I've been talking to you guys about more of the evolution, right? We're basically building these specialized pipelines that are always evolving, right? People are changing jobs. People are, changing skill sets. They're gaining new skill sets. So we have to be able to kind of be able to make sure that we have the right tools to be able to progress there. But by aligning your structure of your recruiting team to the scale of your hiring and the impacts that can be made are pretty much tremendous, as I mentioned before. So you're obviously seeing more collaboration between engineering and talent, a stronger pipeline consistency. You're really raising the technical bar as the talent is coming in the door. So you don't have to worry about, you know, being able to set up additional phone screens or look at, you know, being able to set up a more rigorous process. And your ability to market and brand while gaining quality talent is high, right? So as we look at sourcing, we're doing an event strategy that sources throughout the entire nation that really starts to impact, you know, candidates that weren't in our candidate pool before. And there's a lot of candidates, too, that, you know, even Seattle or New York or California that move, right? And we want to be able to kind of keep in contact with those people. And if they move once, they're probably open to relocation. So that really helps us gather some of that data as well. So, you know, like I said, from here, our philosophy is that instead of being able to, you know, every fiscal year, how many of you guys have to, like, do a this is my headcount for the year, right? And be able to go really kind of manage your budget and go, hey, I have 18 people that I want to hire this year. Instead, our philosophy is that what I would like to do as we're building these pipelines is that, say I have 3 mobile developers that know RX Java, RX Android, and Retrofit, and I know that they're a solid fit for what we do. I'd rather be able to kind of be proactive and go to that manager and say, hey, I have 3 solid candidates that are X, Y, and Z coming with this type of experience. Let's make a case for us to hire them instead of being reactive and behind the eight ball for hiring. So, you know, that's kind of the method and kind of method to our madness at Walmart Labs and Jet. That's really all I have. Do you guys have, like, any kind of questions? And obviously, another plug event here at Wild Ginger in a little bit. So literally come out. We actually have two of our speakers from Jet and Walmart Labs. One's going to be talking about projects at scale, right? So obviously with the scale that we work at and the applications that we build, it's not only cross-functional between coasts, but it's also at, you know, a very, very large scale. And then we're also giving another talk, a lightning talk on our pricing engine as well. So if you guys want to come by Wild Ginger, it's like 3 blocks away. Cool. Any questions? Yeah. Yes.
So do you find that your back-end positions are the same across the country, so that your recruiters are not specializing location-wise? So a recruiter, a SQL person in Norfolk, Virginia, is the same as SQL market in Seattle?
So it depends on what your organization is, right? So for us, we have, on the East Coast, it's very functional F-sharp programming, right? And on the West Coast, it's really Java 8 with a lot of Scala as well, right? So there's the functional aspect to it. But what we've been able to do as a recruiting team is really start to say, we want strong engineers that have a strong object-oriented programming background that understand the functional, right? So we're taking the language out of it and being a lot more agnostic into, it kind of goes back to this, it's not about the tools that you're using, it's about how to use those tools, right? So that's the mentality that we've been able to try to change on the engineering staff is that, right? So if someone comes in and they know Python, but they don't know Java, it's a little bit of a ramp-up time, but actually that creativity can actually be able to kind of change some of the line of the project down the road. So we've really been able to embrace that, and it's been working so far, which is great. Cool. Anything else? No? All right. Well, thank you, guys.